Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. I want to ask you a question. You know, just imagine for a minute growing up on a rural farm in Alabama, a home that lacked running water, no inside bathroom, you know, having to get up early to tend to the chickens and hogs, and if you wanted to eat, you had to go out into the hot fields and grow your own vegetables. Imagine the well running dry. Imagine your elderly grandfather being lowered down into the dark, scary well early in the morning just to try and dig it deeper, only to reemerge later that evening, still needing to go down the next day. Imagine growing up in this environment day after day as a young child. And let's toss this in to top it off. Your existence is the result of your mother being raped. Can you imagine that? Let's add one more obstacle to any chance of success in your life. You're also black, in the deep South, in poverty, with everything else I just described. That's the background of my guest today. She's overcome so many things in her life, and she gives all the credit to the Lord Jesus and to her upbringing, the love she received from her family and her community. Kathy Barnett has overcome all those things and has written this book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. And it explains why the liberal policies have failed the black community time after time. She details why their policies will continue to fail in the future as Democrats run even further to the left, the extreme left of their party. Kathy's a 10-year veteran of the U.S. Air Force Reserves. She was selected to attend OCS, Officer Candidate School, as well. Her corporate career includes working for two major financial firms in corporate America. Kathy also sat on the board of directors of a crisis pregnancy center for 5 years. In addition, she is running for the 4th Congressional District for the state of Pennsylvania as a conservative Republican. I am so blessed to have her on our program today. Help me welcome to the program the future Congresswoman from Pennsylvania, Kathy Barnett. Kathy, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my goodness. I need you to come and introduce me everywhere I go. Oh, my, I have tears listening to you recount my own story. Like, you know, God is so faithful.
Amen. He is.
God is so faithful. And I am so very grateful to be on your show today. Thank you so much for having me.
Amen. Well, you know, when I grew up in the country, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, but we were not nearly as bad off as what you put in your book growing up. I mean, other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Kathy Barnett?
You know, and here's the thing, you don't even, when you're a child, you don't have the ability to fully understand how desperate your situation is. And it really wasn't until I was much older and then looking back over my life and like, oh my goodness, what in the world? And yet seeing God's hand through it all. I can look back now and I can see the hand of God. I get emotional telling my story because, you know, certain spots are still kind of raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was not an easy life, especially as we moved from my grandmother's care. Mm-hmm. It was not an easy life. There were a number of obstacles with a very young mom, you know, trying to raise three kids on her own. And the, you know, being very young, she was very young as well. And, yeah. And the decisions and the choices.
But she was like 11 when she was raped?
I was conceived when my mother was 11 years old.
My goodness.
And that is a story that I literally just started telling last year. Mm-hmm. I had no intentions of ever sharing that story. And being in the public eye for a number of years, there were many opportunities. Even when I sat on the Pregnancy Crisis Center more than 10 years ago, I never shared that story. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure people saw my passion for what it is that I do, but not fully understanding why, because again, that's just not you know, not anything that I personally wanted to share. And then one day, I was last summer, I was sitting at home, and for your listeners, many of them in the Pennsylvania area, you may remember the state secretary, I forget his name right now, but one of our, not state secretary, but one of our state representatives accosted a Catholic family who was downtown Philadelphia praying silently in front of a in front of one of the major abortion centers here in the Philadelphia area, 777 Apple Tree. And they were outside praying quietly, and he runs up with his camera in their face. He accosts them, calls them names, says to his followers on social media, "I will pay money if you can dox them, tell me who they are," right? And in response to that, live action, Lila Rose flew in, it looks like thousands of people came around that family, went back to that same area, and they just had one testimony after another testimony of people sharing their stories with their fight to save lives. And as I was watching that, a conviction fell over me that was just would not leave. And I could hear God so clearly say, if your story could save one life, why would you not share it? And it was a story that, and even after that conviction, I probably tried to sit on it for about a week, hoping it was indigestion, but it wasn't.
I know that feeling.
It was clearly the Lord. And I do a lot of work at Fox News up in New York, and I called my editor and said, I would love to share my story. And she was very gracious in doing so. And that was the beginning. And of me for the first time actually sharing my story, you know, an aspect of my life that has had a very profound impact on how I see the world and what I believe my purpose is in a large to a large degree.
Amen. How much influence did your upbringing come to bear when you finally, you know, left that situation that you grew up in and started out on your own?
You know, I mean, a lot of things. Again, I it feels like I crawled my way from up under a rock. I mean, you think of an obstacle, by God.
Yeah.
It was there somehow, right? And yet, you know, just the faithfulness of God. I'm the first in my family, you know, to go and finish college. Spent 10 years in the military.
Came out.
Thank you. You too. You're a police officer, ex-police officer. In today's environment, we can see that that is a battlefield all of its own. So thank you as well.
Amen.
But, you know, worked in corporate finance, adjunct professor, mainstream media, authored my first book, now running for Congress. And as I look back over it all, it's like I see the hand of God from a pig farm to now running for Congress.
Amen.
And I sit here, you know, with all the issues that our nation is struggling with, I see so clearly why God would have a little black girl who grew up on a pig farm in southern Alabama with the journey and the experiences that I've had.
Yeah.
To be running for this, because all, you know, other people may not have, you know, lived on a pig farm and grew up the way that I did, but I can readily identify with what it means to sacrifice, what it means to discipline yourself, what it means to try to carve out a respectable life for yourself.
Amen.
And then just here in the state of Pennsylvania, we have King Wolf. Governor Wolf, who is, you know, one edict after another, who is either closing down the state or severely restricting people who have, you know, spent a lifetime trying to build a life for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is, you know, in danger. Their livelihood, what they've sacrificed and surrendered so much to have, is, you know, just with a whiff of a pen. And it seems as though it is done with such carelessness. Of course, they come before the cameras with their violins and their sad music. But the decisions that are being made, not just here in this state, but all throughout our nation, is being so politicized, whether we're talking about the virus, whether we're talking about the death of George Floyd, whether we're talking about the rioting and the looting, whether we're talking about toppling down STAC, everything is being politicized, defunding police. And it's being politicized in order to meet a particular agenda. But at the end of the day, lives are being destroyed, whether it's the one-year-old child who was sitting in his stroller and got shot in the belly while sitting in a stroller with his family. Lives are being destroyed. Livelihoods are being gone. People are shutting down businesses never to be reopened again. Our nation is on fire. And you have, you know, for example, Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago taking to Twitter and saying, "I refuse to allow the president to come in," and while the crime on the streets of Chicago are at epidemic levels. I mean, at precedent of the violence.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I mean, let me ask you this. You're a Christian and a conservative, and I have many African-American friends that are Christians, but very few that are are conservative. When I ask them how they can be a Christian and support anti-Christian values, you know, many of them will stammer a little bit before talking about, you know, Republican racism and all that. Being outside of that Democrat influence, how do you see the answer to that question? I mean, I have no doubt they are truly Jesus-loving Christians, but how can they support and continue to vote for candidates that exhibit all these anti-Christian values in their policies?
A couple of things. One, they're manipulated. There is a tremendous amount of time, money, energy, resources has been invested in keeping Black people on what I call and many other conservatives call the Democrat plantation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really have to be manipulated to. We are Black people, Democrats' most loyal constituents. There is no one more loyal to the Democrat Party than the typical Black person. Mm-hmm. And we have been loyal for the past 56 years. And I look at Black people myself and say, what exactly have we gotten for our loyalty? We know what the Democrat Party get. They cannot get into the White House without securing at least 85 to 90% of our vote. But what exactly are we getting? Because you pull a metric, we are either at the bottom or circling near the bottom of that metric. Our streets are some of the worst streets. Our schools are some of the worst schools. Our neighborhoods are some of the most dangerous neighborhoods. We have trash, lined, rodent running areas that our babies are growing up in. And you say to yourself, what exactly have we gotten? Look at our nation, 40 different cities on fire, all ran by Democrats, liberal Democrats. And that's what I talk about. My book is now reading like prophecy because I wrote this book and submitted it in mid-November. It is now reading like prophecy.
Wow.
The writing was on the wall. Being a Black person, having had a front row seat at the devastation of failed liberal policies, and now watching those failed liberal policies being repackaged and submitted to the broader American culture, I was trying to send out a clarion call. I was giving a harbinger of things to come, because you can look at if you just look at the Black community and you just look at it as a petri dish, just watching what happens when liberals control every single aspect, right? You would be hard pressed to find a conservative thought in any of these inner cities. You would be hard pressed to find a Republican anywhere in those inner cities. And so they're completely landlocked by liberal Democrat policies. And you can see exactly what happens when liberal Democrats have complete control to do whatever they want. And it's not good. Because all of these cities, what we're looking at, they are bust, broken, and bruised. And they've all been ran by liberals, right? So if any, so if the fault is to be blamed, if there's systemic racism in any of those cities, you can lay it at the feet of a liberal Democrat. And what I was sending out a call was, they're now repackaging those same failed liberal policies and they're presenting it to the broader American community. There is no difference between these, I forgot what they call them, stimulus spending bills than welfare. There's absolutely no difference between the two, right? And now it's, you know, maybe we could justify those stimulus spending bills for a, you know, defined period of time when we were in the midst at the height of the coronavirus. But today, my opponent is continuing to submit these more spending bills, more free money, direct cash payments. That's what they're calling it. Yeah. You know, so let's continue with the direct cash payments. No, let's open up our nation so that people can get back to work. We now realize that this virus is not an alien from Mars. It is a virus, and there is a way viruses enter into the body. We can educate people on that. We now know that this virus does not have, it does not necessarily spell doom. People contract it, they get over it, they move on. We know that this virus is serious, but now we know that this virus is particularly serious towards those with a compromised immune system. So we can take measures to, you know, to combat that. But let's open up our nation.
Amen. Amen. In a couple minutes we got left, why did you decide to run for Congress? What made you do that?
If not me, then who?
Amen. Great answer.
If, you know, we, above all people, should be out here filling these vacuums think about the control our government has on our lives. With the whiff of a pen, a swiggle of a pen, they can shut down our churches, bar us from singing, tell us we can't go to work. You can, the abortion clinic at 777 Apple Tree that is located right behind the African American History Museum that only perform abortions. They do not pretend to dabble in mammograms, pap smear, any of that. Their sole function is to perform abortion. Guess what? They've never closed one day during this pandemic. While the rest of our jobs, right, while the rest of us are being furloughed, taking 35% pay cuts, having to stand in bread lines to get to provide for our families. But that is what government does. And if anyone should be filling these vacuums, these places that have the ability to impact our lives, it should be us. We should not be sitting in our pews. I'm so glad that Christians are now being forced outside of the four walls of their church building, because you and I are the church.
Amen.
We are the church. And everywhere I show up, guess who else shows up? Jesus. Right?
Amen.
Everywhere
Amen.
I show up, Jesus just walked into the room. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that what the enemy intended for evil by shutting down the four wall buildings that we call church, it is now forcing Christians,
praise God,
Christians to walk outside.
Yep. Amen.
To actually be a light on the hill in the city, right? Amen. We can't go to church anymore because they've deemed it, you know, a non-essential activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, the real one, the authentic
the real
Christians,
church. Yep.
The real church is having to stand up and walk out into the community and actually live their life. Let me just go back one other moment because you were asking about why is it black people don't vote their conservative values, because overwhelmingly black people are conservative.
Yeah.
We just don't vote it. And even Christians, right? Christians who are black just don't vote those biblical principles or values that we say we stand on. And one, it is because of a strong delusion, a strong manipulation that is over the black community. But then also, it is because many black Christians have usurped Christ for the color of their skin. Mm. And the color of their skin takes more precedence than the values that we say we live, right? And so that is what I'm seeing a lot of. I saw it during Obama, when Obama first came on the scene and was running for president. And I'm seeing it right now. The church is being radicalized. The black church, in many regards, is being radicalized. I've already lost dear black friends who are Christians, and I have no reason to doubt that they're Christians, but they are now falling for this concept of black theology, which is, of course, it's a theology straight from the pits of hell, but it is not a theology from Christ. It is not a theology that is found anywhere in the Bible where I will make the color of my skin God. And that is exactly what you see among many black Christians who are not voting their values, but instead are voting based on the color of their skin. They have made the color of their skin God.
My. Amen. Well, I wish I had an hour to talk to you, because you are, as we get ready to close, how can someone get a copy of your book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative America? Is it available on Amazon?
It's everywhere. And by the grace of God, when it came out on February 4th, it went number one on Amazon 2 months in a row. So I'm very excited about that. So please pick it up, Barnes & Noble. Amazon, anywhere books are sold, you should be able to find my book. But also, we need your help in this campaign. Please go to KathyBarnettForCongress.com, KathyBarnettForCongress.com, and donate. I need your prayers, but I need your prayers alongside your money. Forego something. Forego Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donut coffee and contribute, because we are in a battle. We are in a battle for real, and it's not just a physical battle. If you don't know what I mean, please go to Ephesians chapter 6 and begin to understand the battles that we are fighting. And let me tell you, when we as believers exit the arena where hearts and minds are being battled for, others will fill that vacuum. And we are watching what the influence of others have had on our children over the past several decades. We got our children out here doing all kinds of foolish things. We need to show up and to begin to compete for the heart and minds of our nation. And if God has not called you to take the lead in it, then find some support role. When I was in the military, everyone had a role. Maybe your role wasn't in the front of the line taking the bullets, right? That's what I'm doing right now. We're out there and we're taking the bullets, and we are pushing back against darkness of all kinds of sorts. But there are other people all along the supply chain that I would not be able to do what I'm doing if they don't operate in their position. Amen. And it's not just prayer. It's not just prayer, Christians. We need the prayer, but we need a tangible affirmation as well that you are in this battle with us.
Yeah, amen. And give that website address one more time, because we have listeners all over America that can get in touch with you.
Great. Kathy Barnett, with an E at the end, forcongress.com. Kathy Barnett, forcongress.com. Or you can just Google me, Kathy Barnett, and my information will come up.
Amen, amen. Folks, I cannot express my support enough for Kathy Barnett for Congress in the 4th Congressional District of the great state of Pennsylvania. She's a Christian, first and foremost. She's also a conservative Republican, is not ashamed to say so. And as you heard us discuss during this interview, she's overcome so many things that were set against her in life, but she's a stronger for it. As she said in her book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, that she is more than the sum total of her individual parts: black, suburban, middle class, impoverished beginnings, from the deep south, college educated, fatherless, wife, mother, conservative, woman, veteran, Christian, now a candidate for the United States Congress. Praise God. I'm asking you, if you're in the 4th Congressional District in Pennsylvania, you need to reach out and contact her office. You need to vote for and elect this woman of God to federal office. You need to help her get the word out to vote for her. We need more people from all over America just like her. And if you're not from her district, you can still reach out to her office and see how you can help. I'm sure there's some way that you can. And every person in the sound of my voice, you absolutely, right now, go down to the show notes and order a copy of her book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain. And as a matter of fact, order 2 or 3 copies. Pass them out. She needs the help. And you have the ability to help her. I've read it. I couldn't put it out. I read it straight through. It's awesome.
Oh, wow.
At every point she makes, she backs up with facts. There's no hyperbole in this book. But once you start to read it, you won't be able to put it down. I can guarantee that. Go into the show notes. Click the links right there. Get in touch with her. Order her books. Kathy, thank you again for taking the time to come on this program, sharing about your book and your future plans, not just for your congressional district, but for America. I pray God's continued grace and favor and blessings on you for this election. God has put you in this position for such a time as this. Amen. That's all the time we have for today. For Kathy Barnett and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.